That was just a group of people going to a basketball game. It wasn't a scheduled event. It was just people who just decided, let's go to a basketball game and hang out. And they just hung out and just started praying for people. And I mean, and it just so exploded and so went through the whole place that they eventually gave Todd White the microphone, which is amazing, you know? And this is in a public school where, you know, they're supposed to have separation of certain state, church and state. This is the power of us just living the gospel. And not that that has to happen every time, but it's just the power of just being out there, understanding we already are righteous, we're already holy, we've been set apart, we are now children of God. And so that's what I wanted to talk to today. The woman that you saw there, her name is... what's her name? Lynn. And she, if you notice, she's got the cannula on, right? She has cystic fibrosis. She was born with it. And she just felt led. Her and her husband went to a Power and Love conference. And she said the doctors warned her against going, but she decided she was going to go anyway. And I mean, I don't know where she's at now, but she, with this cystic fibrosis, the doctor said, you know, you're not going to live much longer. But she is just going out for the gospel, and she's just praying for people. One of the major tools the enemy uses to shut people down is to tell them, you're not healthy, therefore how dare you go pray for the sick. We don't buy that lie. That is just a lie. The power of God works inside of us, and we can go pray for the sick. So when Randy and I, in our walk, you know, we had gone to Bible college, and we were really feeling stuck afterwards in our life. You know, we just were feeling stuck. Like, there had to be more to Christianity than just getting up every morning and saying your confessions and going and hoping that you had a good day. Like, there had to be something to it than that, you know? And so when we came across, a friend of mine called me and said, listen, you got to check out this guy, Dan Moeller. And I immediately, like, Holy Spirit just immediately quickened that to me, and so I started watching him. And it was like, it just exploded inside of me, because it was like, this is someone who's living the gospel. He understands righteousness. He understands grace. He understands identity. That's the foundation for all of what he does. But because of that, because he knows that, he goes out and he lives the gospel, and he's impacting lives all over him, over the place. And it's just in his ordinary life. So, I mean, yeah, he does conferences and things like that, but it's just when he goes to Walmart, when he goes to Kmart, when he goes to the grocery store, he's just looking for people that he can touch their lives. And so it's not some big super duper thing. It's for those who believe, right? So when we started watching him, and then we got, of course, hooked up to Todd White, who's his spiritual son, it just really just ignited a fire inside of us. And all of a sudden, it's amazing what happened. After that happened, it's like doors just began opening. The door opened, you know, we started ministering to the homeless. That's what inspired us to start ministering to the homeless. We were like, God, we have to start doing something. And it's like, well, there's a captive audience. Homeless that nobody else wants, so we'll go take care of them. So we started ministering to the homeless, you know, that we had been in our church. Then after that, then the door opened for us to teach at Karis, the door opened for the church, all these things. And I feel like sometimes we're in a holding pattern because God's waiting for us to get the right message. You know what I'm saying? Like, he sees what he has for you, but he wants to wait until you're fully, and not that we're fully baked, but he wants to, at least that you're going in the right direction, that you have the right message. Because what I see, you know, what I see in both of their, in these people's lives is a real understanding of identity. There's no condemnation, there's no guilt, there's none of that, because I am the righteousness of God in Christ. But there has to be a life lived from that place. You know, that's why for our church, it's encounter Christ, know Christ, live Christ. There's three parts to that. You have to first, we need to encounter him all the time. It's not a one-time thing. But then you have to come to know him and know who you are in him. But then that, of its, and that can be a period of time, but at some point, that has to explode out of you. You know, I mean, that's my experience. It's like there's a point where it's like, I can't just be here for me anymore. I've got to do something. I've got to impact the world. There's, God's got stuff in here. And it's not just, you know, I think the church, and Dan's talked about it, the church is becoming become complacent. We don't understand who we are, therefore we don't know how to live, and we're trying to do by religion. But then it can become, well, I know how good God is, so it's just bless. It becomes the bless me club. You know, I want this from you, I want that from you, I want this from you. But Jesus said, if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these other things will be added to us. So I'm not worried about the things. I'm just seeking you. If I seek you, everything else will be taken care of. And in the meantime, I'm just going around and manifesting the kingdom everywhere I go and whatever way God's called me to. So when we first started doing that, Randy and I were out a lot, and we would minister a lot. And I remember going. I've shared this with some of you. I remember going into a fast food place, and the Lord just spoke to me and said, "Melissa, I have a word for every person in here." And his point to me wasn't that I want you to give a word to every person. His point to me was, we often go in there and say, "Oh, I don't think God has a word for anyone here." It's just, okay, don't let the enemy use that deception. I could talk to anybody in here. Are you willing to be a vessel? You know, are you willing to speak to someone? I went to the man behind the counter, and the Lord just kind of highlighted it to him. I went behind the counter. There wasn't anybody behind me at the time, and I just started ministering to him, and the man started crying and just said to me, "You have no idea." All he kept on saying to me over and over again is, "You have no idea, you have no idea." And I just ministered to him. We were in a hotel one time, and I was walking back to the room, and I saw this man in the laundry area, and he was, you know, like where they wash the sheets and stuff like that. I saw him in there, and I walked by, and you heard the Lord say, "Go pray for him." You know, and you're kind of like, la, 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 la. Right? So I went into the room, and I'm sitting there. Randy's in the room, and finally I'm like, "There's a guy in the laundry room I've got to go pray for." So he's like, "Well, I'll go with you." So I walk into the laundry room. I go up to him, and it turns out he's Indian. I don't even know how much English he understands. But I just asked if I could pray for him, and, you know, just kind of sign language, and he was like, yes. So Randy and I started praying for him. He started weeping and weeping. I don't even know if he understood a single word I was saying, so I just said Jesus a lot so that he just knew that that's who was ministering to him, you know? And he just kept weeping and weeping, and he would walk away and go to the sink and clean himself up, and then he'd come back to us again, and he'd just weep and weep and weep. I don't know what God did. I have no idea what God did, but I know the man was touched. He was really touched. And so we stepped out a lot. But what happened is one time I was listening to Dan Moeller teach, and he talked about motives. And I agree with this, because we don't want to do this because it's the new in thing in Christianity. Right? And he was saying that it's really important to have the right motives. We don't want to be that Todd White, Dan Moeller, this is the phase we're going to go through, and then this is a lifestyle. And when he said something, it's like I all of a sudden was starting to question my motives. And that was never my motive. My motive was I really loved people and wanted to step out. But because, like my friend Brian said to me, the enemy used that to get me to question my motives, and I shut down. And I stopped praying for people like I used to. And so what I'm excited about is now I'm starting to step back out again. The enemy's stolen that long enough from me. I'm going out. Randy and I were praying for a guy in Target. Well, he didn't let us to pray. We said, "Can we pray for you?" He's like, "In the middle of the store?" And we're like, "Okay, no, that's not going to work." But I've been able to minister to a couple people in the parking lot at Kroger the other day, and just stepping out again. And, you know, it just starts by loving people. Like, just, okay, I see someone with a cane trying to load their groceries into the car. Well, you just go over to them and just say, "Hey, can I help you?" You know, sure, help. And you help them, and then it's just, you know, "Hey, I see you have the cane. Why do you have the cane? You know, can I just pray for you?" You know, and it doesn't have to be a simple prayer. It's just, you know, okay, be healed in Jesus' name. And then you just move on, and people are touched. People are loved. It's just about loving people. If you're not going out with the goal of, "I've got to go heal them," it's just, "I got to go love them. Let Jesus heal them," right? Right? And see, when I realized that all I had to do was love people, like, I don't have to argue doctrine. I don't have to get them baptized in the Holy Spirit. I don't have to get them to come to our church. I don't have to make sure they understand the grace message. I just need to love them. I just need to love them. And that just takes all the shackles off, all the chains off, because we all know what love looks like, and we can just all be love, right? And so it just makes it so much easier to just go love people. And so that really helped me. That just really helped me. I want to, when you step out, you have to come from a place of identity. You have to understand who you are in Christ. You are righteous, you are holy, you are pure. And you step out from that place, and it's not, we're not self-conscious, we're God-conscious. The minute the enemy can make you self-conscious, that's when he's got you pulling back. So it's always being aware of who he is inside of you, and just loving people. It's not, in and of ourselves, we don't have the power to heal. But because Christ lives in us, that power flows through us, and healing happens. You know? Let's go to John 17. John chapter 17. We can start in, John 17 is a beautiful chapter about Jesus ministering, his prayer to the disciples before he leaves. It's a beautiful chapter. And so we're kind of in the middle of it, verse 15. He's talking about the disciples. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. So he wants us in the world. He wants us in the world. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So sanctify means to set apart. So he sets us apart by truth, and the word is truth. As you sent me, as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. Now, this is what's amazing if you think about it. The disciples went out, and they're healing people all over the place, right? They come running back to Jesus and say, listen, you know, people are getting healed in your name. Demons are being cast out in your name. You know, and they weren't born again. They weren't spirit-filled. They didn't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They were doing that purely on Jesus' authority, just on his authority on earth. How much more us, as new creations, can we impact the world? Because he's living inside of us. But he's saying in 18, as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. So he set himself apart because that sanctifies us by the truth. So I know you guys all know this, but it's this, you know, unless people would think that, well, that's just the disciples, and it died with the disciples. Here, right, verse 20. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Right? We believe that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may be one in us. Okay, so he's talking all about this oneness that we are to have with the Father, oneness with Christ. For what purpose? That the world may believe that you sent me. That's the purpose of our oneness with Christ, is that the world would believe, because of our witness, because of our lives, we should be such a shining light, a testimony, that they see us for the purpose that they would then know that God sent Jesus. So you mean it's not all about me? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's so much more than just us walking in divine health and provision. Although I believe in all of that, absolutely, all of that is ours. But our lives are supposed to be a witness that the world may believe that God sent Jesus. Verse 22, the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. So again, the glory he's given us, that we may be one as he is one. We're to be one with him. And we are one in him when Christ comes to live in us. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. We're made perfect in our oneness with Christ. And that, again, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. So again, this whole oneness that we experience with Christ is a beautiful thing. But part of what it's supposed to do is demonstrate to people that God sent Jesus. Because they see our lives. Isn't that amazing? Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me, them, and I in them. So the love that was in Christ, the love that he experienced between him and the Father, is the love that we are to experience between us and the Father as well. Because of the oneness we experience, because he's made us righteous, he's made us pure, he's made us holy, and so we can experience that oneness in him. So let's go to John chapter 20. Just to see that this is what we're called to in our lives. And I understand that people are in all different places, and sometimes this is a new thing for people of going out and praying, and so it's a stretch, and that's a process. So everybody's in a different place, and I honor that, wherever people are at, but we have to at least get it on the radar that could be a part of your Christian life. Okay? So John chapter 20, starting in verse 19, when Jesus came back from the dead, resurrected from the dead, and he comes to see the disciples, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Okay, so here the disciples are all in fear, right? And Jesus comes. So just those people who tell you that when you're in fear, Jesus can't come, that's not true. Because they were in fear and Jesus came. Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." So here, Jesus comes, and we all know this is where the disciples got born again. This is a picture of the Garden of Eden, when God breathed into Adam, and Adam became a living being. So Jesus breathes on the disciples, and now eternal life, Zoe life, comes into them, and they're now born again. They're new creations in Christ. So this is their born-again experience, and that's the same thing for us. When we get the breath of life, the Spirit of God inside of us, when we're born again. But notice as he says, "As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And if it's for the disciples, it means it's also for us. That word "sent" means to commission, set apart for a special service, send a message by someone, send out with a mission to fulfill, equip, and dispatch one with the full backing and authority of the sender. Wow. So it's not like I'm just sending you out. I'm sending you out. I've given you, all authority's been given to me. I'm sending you out. You have the full backing of heaven to go and minister as I ministered. For 3.5 years, I showed you how to live this life. I showed you how to minister and touch people's lives for God. And this is what it looks like. And as the Father sent me, so I am sending you. And that's for every single one of us. We have all been commissioned to do that. We've all been commissioned to go out and touch lives for Christ. And for, you know, some people, it's in whatever workplace you're in, it just means being there. It just means praying as you can. It just means wherever you are, to manifest Christ. When people push a button, Christ comes spilling out all over them instead of ourselves, which is sometimes a challenge, but we're growing. So let's go to Mark 16. Mark chapter 16, and we'll go to verse 14. This is Jesus. This is before he ascends back into heaven after spending 40 days on the earth just ministering. So before Pentecost, verse 14. "Later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had been seen, who had seen him after he had arisen." So once again, he's telling them your hardness of heart. "And he said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. Who believes here? And these signs are supposed to follow us. It doesn't say it follows the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the teacher, the pastor. It says these signs follow those who believe. In my name, they shall cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up, if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. Lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Amen? As far as serpents, it just means we're not going to do snake handling. It's just we have power over the enemy. But this, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. That is part of our commission. That is part of what the power that he's put inside of us. This is part of what we're to do. And this is, he was clear with the disciples. This is what your life looks like. This is what we're supposed to do. Let's go to Matthew 28. Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus came and spoke to them, the 11, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples," not converts, not churchgoers, not people who go to church once a day on Sunday, "make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." This is what he's commissioned us to do. This is what he's empowered us to do. This is how we demonstrate the gospel. This is how we show people who Jesus is. I mean, even if you look at our testimony, you know, we had loved the Lord when we were young. We got off into New Age and everything. But when the Lord came, brought us back, how did he bring him back? He healed me of an incurable illness. That's how we came back. How you know, we could have the person's miracle, the next miracle in our pockets, you know? I mean, you don't know. I mean, like Randy ministering to Dylan that time. He was suicidal. He was planning on committing suicide. And Randy ministered to him in the McDonald's. I think to myself, you know, the Lord spoke to me. It's like we're people as a world. It's like we're just swimming in the belief. Like it's just all over us. It's just all in front of us. It's just this whole world of unbelief. But there's a heart cry. And Todd refers to it. And I know what he's saying. It's like there's a heart cry in everyone that's like they're barely aware of, but it's inside them, and it's they're looking. The Lord said to me, they're looking for people who truly know God and can operate on His behalf because they want to know that God is real. Right? The people want to know that God is real and that He's powerful and He can impact their lives. Not this religious God that's stuck in a building, but that He's powerful. He's almighty. He's got them. He's in this world, right? I mean, they want to know that. And they won't know it unless we show up, unless we demonstrate to them who God really is. You know, if we're hoping them to come into church someday, that's not going to happen. They're out there in the world. They're just going around trying to get through life, make a living, because they've been told that that's what life is about. That's not what life is about. Life is about knowing Jesus. Right? That's what it's about. And so people get stuck in this grind and they keep thinking the next job, the next woman, man, the next house, the next car, all those things are finally going to make them happy. The next child, whatever. And it's none of that. It's none of that. It's all about the fact that you were created in God's image and likeness and you've been living separate from Him. But in Christ, you come back to Him. He makes you a new creation. And now you finally have the ability to live because you have life inside of you. And so people need to see that demonstrated. They need to see people who are alive. They're hungry for that. And we've each been given a sphere of influence. And it's not, you know, I mean, Todd White has one sphere of influence, but we each have a sphere of influence. And God has planted us in particular places so that we can demonstrate the gospel, you know, demonstrate the good news of who Jesus is in our lives. We don't have to be weird and flaky to do it. You know, we don't have to, we can do it just in our normal, just love people. we can just love people. Let's go to John 14. John 14, verse 12, Jesus says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also." So for right there, that's convicting. So how many of us are walking in all of the works of Jesus? Because he's saying that the works that Jesus does, we will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. So he's saying that our lives should have the same works in them that his life had. Now, we can't do that in our own strength. We have to understand who we are, okay? Because the enemy will just take this and put a yoke on you of works. That's not it. It's knowing who we are, and it flows naturally from who we are. But we can go, let's go to Acts chapter 5. I'm jumping around the Bible a little bit here today. Thank you for your patience. Acts 5. Acts 5, and go to verse 14. Believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. So now, we don't have an account of Jesus' shadow healing anybody. We have an account of people touching his clothes. I'm not saying that it didn't happen, but we don't have an account of that. So, but here we have an account that Peter's shadow was, people were being healed by his shadow. That to me, what's going on in America today, I think, I lay it right at the feet of the church. Because if we sing this gospel, we're supposed to be living this gospel, people would be, they should be lined up at the doors. They should be lined up at your home waiting for you to walk out because your shadow is going to heal them. That's the truth. That's the truth. That's where we can go if we're willing. You know, but religion has told us, no, just go into your little church building, you know, beat yourself up for sin, and then, you know, just wait and hold until next week. No. We come in here to get recharged because we're the children of God, the righteousness of the Most High God, and we own this planet. We're taking it over. We're ambassadors for Christ, and we go out the doors and we say, hey, meet Jesus. That's what we're supposed to be doing. So our shadows can heal people. That's part of greater works. Let's go to Acts 19. Acts 19. Starting in verse 11. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. Wouldn't that be wonderful if someone said, well, they're unusual miracles. So that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Wow, he was so saturated in the presence of God. He was so saturated in that presence that his clothing carried that anointing. And they could just take one of his garments and put it on somebody, and the demons would leave the person. The person would be completely healed. That's not special for Paul. That can be true for every single one of us. Because unusual, Jesus said that greater works would be done by us. See, we have to let our mind go there first. Because if we don't let our mind go there, we won't let it be possible. But we have to see that that's the power that resides in us. It's not us and our strength, it's him. He's in us. And spending time with him, spending time in his presence, reading the word, not as a work, but just because we're enjoying this union and communion with him, it affects us. It affects us. It's a sweet-smelling aroma that we carry around that sometimes is a stench to other people. But it's a sweet-smelling aroma of Christ. And that's what we carry. That's who we are. That's what we have the privilege of carrying around. You know, Paul talks about, we don't have to go there, in 1 Corinthians 2:4, he says, "My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." We can never convince someone to come into Christianity by arguing doctrine. That is not going to happen. T.L. Osborne talks about him and his wife had a real passion for evangelism, and they went over to India. I think it was India. And he brings his Bible, and he's all excited. He's going to bring people to Christ. And so they sit down there with people, and they would sit. He says, we sat down at the table with our black book. They sat down at the table with their black book. You know, and they both sit there and they just start arguing back and forth about different beliefs. And he says, and it got nowhere. And he came back from India to the United States, and him and his wife were just desperate. Like, what are we going to do? We feel this call, but we're not bringing people to Christ. And then he met someone who operated in the power of God, and it radically rocked his world. And so him and his wife, I mean, Jesus showed up in his bedroom. That would really rock your world. But he after that, and because he saw someone operating in signs and wonders, and he was like, oh my gosh. And he said him and his wife just sat down, and all they did is read the Gospels. Like, they just said, God, we are going to do what you told us to do in the Gospels. And he became, T.L. Osborne brought millions to Christ. Millions to Christ, because he just said, you know what? This is what this book says, so therefore I'm going to do it. And I'm going to trust that, you know, this is your word. I'm just going to be obedient. And I'm just going to be obedient. You said lay hands on the, and so I'm not going to be self-conscious. And I'm just going to lay hands on the sick because you said, and you just say, be healed. If you saw the prayers that they were praying in that video, they were simple. You don't have to say, oh, connect this bone to this joint, to this marrow. I mean, you just be healed. Todd White, I mean, the multitude of people healed just by saying the name Jesus. But he says it from such a pure place of understanding who Jesus is that when he says Jesus, it just carries all that power and people are delivered. You know, a couple things I want to share. Different places we stumble. Todd White, when he first saw that the healing was a part of the gospel, he made a commitment to the Lord. He said, I will pray for 10 people a day. And he prayed for 10 people a day for 90 days before he saw his first healing. So what does that tell us? That tells us that you can't be discouraged. You have to just keep doing it. Don't back off. Heidi Baker talks about she was about to give up the ministry. She went to the Toronto revival, and she got a word from Randy Clark. He told her that she could have the nation of Mozambique, and that she was going to see blind eyes open. She got all excited because she was about to give up the ministry. God rejuvenated her, so she flew back to Mozambique with Roland, and she, the first blind person she met, she just went up and she laid hands on them for them to be healed, and they weren't healed. And she was frustrated, so she just kept doing it. It took a year before she saw the first person's eyes, blind eyes open. And it was amazing because the woman who she prayed for had the name Mama Ada. And that's Heidi's name in Mozambique-ish, whatever. So the next two people she prayed for also got their blind eyes opened, and they were also named Mama Ada. And so she said to the Lord, what is this? How come they have the same name, the first three people? And he said, because you're blind. And she said, what do you mean? He says, you think that the only people who need the gospel are the poor people in Africa. He says, you've turned your heart against the first world, the people in the United States and all that, thinking that you've hardened your heart and you're not willing to go to them. They need the gospel too. They're as desperate as the people in the desert in Africa. And so he opened her eyes to see that she had become prejudiced in the way she was ministering. And so he opened her heart to be able to minister there. So my point to all this is you have a word from God, just like Heidi, just like Todd, that you can go out and lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's all you need. That's the same thing as saying blind eyes are going to open. You have that word from God. And so it's not a matter of doing it and, well, did it happen? I go there myself. We have to go beyond that and be like, God said it, so I'm going to do it, and I have faith that it will eventually happen. Tom Rotolo at the conference told us a story about how Todd White saw this man operating really strongly in the word of knowledge. He went over to him. He said, hey, man, you got to lay hands on me. I want that anointing. And the guy said to him, Todd, you've already got it. And he's like, no, man, really, like, lay hands on me. Impart that to me. And the guy's like, Todd, you've already got it. No, man, really. He's, Todd, you already have it. You just need to start operating in it. So Tom Rotolo says that he goes with Todd to a hotel to check in. And so Todd's like, okay. So he says to the guy, so do you have a pain in your knee? And the guy's like, no. In your hip. Do you have pain in your hip? Nope, hip's fine. What about your shoulder? No, it's fine. Do you have pain anywhere in your body? And so he prayed for the man. But Tom Rotolo said that it was amazing because Todd just kept doing it and kept doing it and kept doing it, even though he was totally wrong a lot of times. But he says now, like within a few months, he goes out with Todd, and all of a sudden Todd's walking up to someone and saying, hey, you have a pain in your shoulder, and that came from a high school, an injury you had in high school playing basketball. Like the Lord just is like giving it because he kept doing it. So that, I guess that's my point, is don't get frustrated. The enemy will try to shut you down when you first step out, and it doesn't happen. Guess what? That happens for all of us. Don't let the enemy use that to discourage you. Don't let him discourage you if you think you're operating in the word of knowledge and you're off. Don't, I mean, we let doctors practice all the time on us. At least ours is has no negative side effects, right? I mean, so just be willing to just step out. Just like I said, just start by being nice to somebody, you know, and ministering to them. We're supposed to. How do you know when to do this? Well, it's supposed to be on earth as it is in heaven. So whenever you're walking along and you see something that's on earth that you know isn't in heaven, that's an opportunity for you to minister the kingdom of God. Someone's walking with Christ in a wheelchair, or someone's whatever. That's not in the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, we have an opportunity to bring the kingdom of heaven to that situation, right? That's how we know what to pray for. And just the God, something on your heart. Todd White says that people always say, well, I want to feel led. So he says, okay, my instructions are go to the store, buy some lead, put it in your pocket, and just feel it while you're walking around, and that way you will feel led. So, I mean, we come up with so many excuses, and I understand. For every single person, Todd, too, he talks about it, it's not like it feels comfortable at first. You have to go beyond that. The Lord has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And we have to come to a place where we're more concerned about that person and their pain, their suffering, their illness, whatever's going on in their life, that we have more of a heart, that they matter more to us than us. That's what it comes down to, is you care more about that person in front of you than you care about your own self and your own reputation and all those other things. You know, if you... like people who went to that basketball game, see, it wasn't about the basketball game. You know what I'm saying? Like people went to a basketball game, but God took that basketball game and made it all about Jesus, and he touched lives. So how many places we go, it's never about the grocery store. It's never about wherever you are. It's never about the Chick-fil-A. It's never... That's the unbelief that kind of is in the air. It's always about the kingdom of God. And every place we go is an opportunity for us to minister the kingdom of God and make it about Jesus instead of whatever place we're in. Because it's not about the basketball game in that YouTube video. It's about Jesus. And we can get deceived into thinking that we're just living through life and just going to these little events or whatever and get sucked into that. But every place we go is an opportunity for us to minister the gospel. Amen? Amen. Amen. So let's just pray. Father, I just thank you so much for just for who you are. I thank you, Lord, that today is Step Out Sunday. And Lord, I just, whether people come with us, you know, after church to go step out or just go home to wherever they go today, to just at least you've put it on their hearts that they can step out and believe in you. Because Jesus, you want to touch a lost and dying world. And we all have the ability to love, at least love people. So Lord, I just thank you so much for sealing this up in their hearts. I thank you, Lord, for the way you're going to touch people today and throughout the week. I thank you ahead of time, Lord, for the amazing, amazing testimonies that are going to come. Lord, just because we are being obedient, your word tells us to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And we are grateful to be able to carry that anointing and touch lives in the name of Jesus. Amen. I have one more story I just want to share with you. That Power and Love conference, there was over 2,000 people at it. And at the lunch and dinner breaks, Those 2,000 people were released into the city of Winston-Salem to minister, and that place was impacted. We went to the restaurant the last day of it, and the woman said, this has been the most amazing, the waitress said, this has been the most amazing week. She said, all these people have come in, they have blessed us in our, in our tips, they've prayed for us. It's been amazing this week. See, that's, what if we did that every day? That's what life is supposed to look like. But 2,000 people got released into Winston-Salem, multiple, for lunch and dinner, and the city was blessed. And that's what all of us are called to. And that's what I mean. If we were living that, there would be a whole different country we'd be living in because Christ would be manifested. Amen? Amen.